Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for TWiT Live at CES is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT Special number 104, CES 2012 Opening Day. This TWiT Special is brought to you by Ford, featuring voice-activated Sync Appling. Now you can control select smartphone apps with your voice, so you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Check it out in the 2012 Ford Fiesta and at Ford.com/technology.
As the show hasn't opened, the only people who can get in here right now are exhibiting press. Exhibitors, of course, can get in. We're going to cut over here and try to get over to the central hall. The show opens in about 15 minutes at exactly 10 o'clock. And I suspect there'll be a pretty hefty crew of people there by that time. Hilton Goring's got, you got some sort of weird Steadicam arrangement. That looks good. I like that. Very fancy. We're using a Sony EX1 HD camera for this. And as I mentioned, the LiveView backpack. We've got Liz Romero running interference. Eileen Rivera producing. Am I leaving anybody out? The LiveView people are with us. I see a lot of LiveViews all of a sudden everywhere. It used to be our magic thing, and now everybody's got... Oh, you don't want to be on camera? I was going to talk to you. I see a lot of LiveViews everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's we're very happy about that.
That's fantastic. Yep. Are networks starting to use it, broadcasters?
Yeah. Yeah, we have, I think, most of the major networks, cable news channels, O&Os, local affiliates, broadcasting groups, a lot of sports networks, so yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's amazing what we can do. I mean, it used to be you'd have to have, I remember watching the 1968 conventions and Dan Rather standing on the show, on the convention floor, like that, basically a satellite dish on his back.
Yeah. Yeah,
big antennas and all sorts of stuff.
This is about that once.
Yeah, I remember.
Yep.
Well, we've really improved it, and this is even old technology now. Are you wearing the little LiveView?
Yeah.
You're so sneaky.
LiveView. Yep.
Look at that. It's just a little old thing. Yep. Hilton's going, why am I carrying this backpack? That's kind of amazing. All right, we're heading over to the Central Hall. It's a beautiful day in Vegas. We're expecting mid 60s for the temperatures. The sun is shining. It's clear skies. Really perfect weather for the 2012 CES to kick off. 100 fewer booths this year than last year. They said 2,700 exhibitors, but it will be augmented by an additional 500 photography exhibits because this year, for the first time ever, CES is uniting with the PMA show, the Photo Marketers Association show, which is probably the biggest digital photography show in the U.S. So it's a nice combination. We'll get to see some really exciting cameras. Perhaps we'll even see the Canon 5D Mark III. Already we've seen a number of mirrorless cameras announced by companies like Sony and Olympus and Pentax. It's pretty exciting. All right. We're going to get in a crowded area in just a bit, so we'll just kind of keep moving. This is the bus staging area. The biggest challenge of CES with 150,000 attendees is getting from point A to point B. Not only is the Las Vegas Convention Center huge, we were just in the South Hall. We're walking to the Central Hall, and there's another North Hall, and then there's the Hilton, which has a lot of exhibits, including the international exhibits, and there's the Sands Expo Center, so it's all over the place. And getting there is impossible. There are not enough taxis. There's a monorail, but the lines are long. They're giving away a Focus, I see. Actually, keep going over this way. We want to go in the front door. This is the 2013 Focus, very pretty. In the past, Ford CEO Alan Mulally, last 2 years, has given a keynote here. Won't be doing it here. It's interesting because, you know, the Detroit Auto Show is right now as well. So Ford has a real challenge. It's interesting that the CEO of Ford is here today and not in Detroit, where they're announcing the 2013 Focus. No, we got to keep going. The main entrance is down here. I was just saying they have these buses, but the lines to the buses are long. It pretty much takes an hour to get anywhere if you're at CES. And that's consistently been the frustration. CES is a little smaller now than it used to be. At its peak, Comdex And I think this is true also of CES. We're 250,000 people. And that's an awful lot of people, even in this big city. It's the only town in America that you could do an event like this. They're the only place with enough hotel rooms and that's enough convention center space. I was saying on our on my social cam post, I've been posting video and audio from the show as well on my blog, that there is a carnival atmosphere here, kind of this almost a medieval carnival, an excitement where you have all sorts of interesting things. How you doing? You know, and as you look around, you go, oh, NVIDIA's got a Ferrari over there, a Gullwing. What is that? Oh, I want to see what that's. Oh, look, this looks like something cool going on, new tablets. We're going to see a whole bunch of Ultrabooks, MacBook Air clones. And for some reason, I'm not sure yet why, Dish has a new product they call Hopper, and there's a giant, if you look over here, inflatable kangaroo. There always is a giant inflatable something in front of the LVCC during CES. This year it's a kangaroo. Fuzzy, too. So we're going in the front door, which is just to the left of this kangaroo. And let me just check my my clock. Yeah, in about 9 minutes, the show floor will open. So, actually, Alan is here today. In fact, I'm going to have dinner with him tonight. We're having a little round table dinner with a Ford CTO. They call him Prasad is the what's next guy. Alan Mulally, the CEO, the CTO, to talk about Ford's future. Ford, of course, is sponsoring our CES coverage. We're really pleased to have them on board. In fact, I have here a little piece of paper that I will refer to. This portion of the show brought to you by Ford featuring Sync AppLink. Now, see, I don't think showgirls in T-shirts is quite the right look, but anyway, Sync AppLink, you can pan around and get the scene while I talk a little bit here, Hilton. Sync AppLink enables you to control apps on your smartphone with voice commands using Sync. You know, the whole idea of Sync is keep your hands on the wheel, your eyes on the road, safety first. And in fact, that's one of the things I want to ask Alan about tonight when we talk. I'm interviewing him later this afternoon, too, is how do you balance what we want, what consumers want, which is more connectivity? You know, Mercedes just announced they're putting Facebook in their car. I don't know if that's a good idea. How do you balance what consumers want with safety on the road? Ford's working really hard to do that, and I think Sync is really their premier product for that. All voice controlled. Look at the photographers up here who are getting the crowd as they get in. We're all waiting. We're going to start milling about now as we get ready to enter in about 5 minutes. They're showing some new apps here. Of course, we know about Pandora, which works with the Ford Sync. We know about OpenBeak, which reads your tweets. Stitcher. It's a Slacker Radio. It's really cool what you can do now in your car. You get in, you pair your phone. Keep pointing it that way, because I think that's more interesting than me standing here talking. I know, I'm interviewing Alan today at the Ford booth. I really want to see that 2013 Fusion. That is so sweet. With Pandora, for instance, you can select your favorite station. You can bookmark a song as you're listening to it, saying, I want to buy that when I get home. You can say thumbs up or thumbs down. So what you do is you press a button on your steering wheel. It goes bong, and then you say, Pandora, and you know, play my Frank Sinatra station. And you can say thumbs up, thumbs down. With OpenBeak, you can say read timelines, read replies. Sync AppLink is an API platform, too. Oh, here we go. We're going in. That allows Ford to continue to work with the people in the app community to bring apps to life with voice in their vehicles. Sync AppLink, it's available now in the 2012 Ford Fiesta. And we're going to see a 2013 Fusion, which will have it. Very excited. Thank you so much to Ford for sponsoring our coverage. As we go in, the very first thing we're going to see, they opened a little early. It's only 9:54, is this LG Pavilion. And this is 3D, by the way.
Dead zone, apparently.
Ah, so we won't be going near Panasonic because our camera won't work in the Panasonic area. I wonder if it's because it's a Sony camera. LG has this amazing giant display made up of course, many, many displays, all curved. And this year it's in 3D, which is interesting. Especially since most of the people who are going to be walking by this and looking won't actually be wearing glasses. But I guess it does emphasize the 3D nature of what they're doing. And as you know, when you're doing 3D, there's nothing like 3D in IMAX. Oh, look at this. Liz Romero has her very own. Do you own these 3D glasses? Let me put them on. Wow, makes. These are from Marchand. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, these make me feel like Tom Selleck or maybe Tom Cruise. I feel the need for speed. So yeah, when you see 3D on a screen this big, it really is almost scary. It jumps out at you. It's very accurate. Here, let's see if I can do it with the camera. Here, does it look 3D now if you point through those? Keep moving, keep moving. They are offering 3D glasses here, so I'll give you yours back. And we'll get some glasses as we walk through. This is, I'm sure they paid an awful lot for this. This is the actual entrance hall. They've never done it quite like this before to get through. Oh, it's clip-ons. Too bad I'm not wearing real glasses. Wow, everything's in 3D. Oh, that's what I need. I need real ones. Thank you. Here, you got the clip-ons back. These are Cinema 3D glasses. They're passive, and that's one of the things I'm sure LG is pushing. In fact, last year were one of the first manufacturers to have passive 3D glasses. That's great because it means the glasses are much less expensive. These are the kinds you get in the theater. The negative on passive 3D, of course, is you have to see about half the luminance of the screen. It darkens things considerably, unlike the shuttered glasses do that too, I guess. But there's no electronics, there's no batteries, and the glasses are a lot cheaper. Wow, we're gonna be moving to our through the hall to try to get to our stage in the South Hall. Hilton, you'll notice as soon as we come into the LG booth how much more comfortable the floor is. Everybody's stopping here. This is going to be a problem, I think, for the entire show, is that everybody's stopping to watch the 3D. Wow, it is pretty good. Holy moly. When you stand right here, it's pretty, that's dramatic, isn't it?
This is so cool. This is,
wow. Oh, wow.
I'm not a big believer of 3D, but man, this is good.
They've gone into their show, you know, for a while it just had text on here. Wow. Let's move right in. We do want to see this. LG is manufacturing a 55-inch OLED TV. Now, they are a panel manufacturer. Among their customers, Apple computers. So there have been some speculation that maybe this would be the panel that you would see in an Apple TV. Let's see how close we can get. And really what we want to do is get on the side of it, because you won't be able to see how good it looks. You just have to take my word for it. The blacks are really rich. The color is fantastic. It's spectacular. Well, no, I don't want to get in front of it. I want to look at the side of it, because the thing that's most interesting about this is it's 4 millimeters thick. So this is like a plate of glass that you are looking through. It's just amazing. And the 3D is very good. The quality, the blacks, the images are very high quality. So Hilton's getting that shot. 4 millimeters thick. Are the electronics in a box below it? Or, I mean, you can't put them in something 4 millimeters thick.
You're on the base station.
You're on the base, okay. And this isn't a product yet. This is their manufacturer of panels. Eventually, though, LG and others, I think, will be offering this as a television.
Built-in tuner and everything.
So we're close to a real product. Yeah, it's not just a panel. That's exciting. It looks gorgeous. OLED is so rich and so black. Well, you've experienced most of you on your phone, but to see it in 55 inches in a panel, it just disappears. That is I've never seen anything so amazing in my life. This was the one thing I really wanted to come to see, and it is truly incredible. How are we doing, Mr. LiveView? Everything okay? You're checking the settings? Yeah. Everything's fine? We're in a pack of television people from all over the world. There's a Japanese crew over here. When I was walking through the International Pavilion, they were making announcements in 4 different kinds of Chinese. It's really incredible. Let's keep going. Eileen, we walk this way? Eileen has already kind of pre-planned a route for us, which is a good thing, because it is crowded. It is jammed here. Even these regular LCD displays now have gotten awfully thin. I mean, that's not 4 millimeters. Maybe that's 12 millimeters, but it's still awfully thin. What's interesting about...
Google TV.
Sure, I'd love to see Google TV.
I'd love to show you what's new with Google TV and LG Electronics.
We're going to come back, of course, to do Home Theater Geeks here and get it in more detail. But just as we're walking over, this is exciting. So you've built in Google TV into the smart. This is the smart TVs. And it's Honeycomb, too. It's 4.0. Oh, no, it's ice cream sandwich. It's 4.0.
I leave.
So this is the controller?
This is the controller. Now, if you flip that over to the other side, you've got a full QWERTY keyboard and the ability to go through and search.
This is much nicer than the Sony controller, which was really quite ugly. They've done a nice job on this. And, of course, all the apps are showing up here.
That's right. This is really the perfect marriage between the Internet and home theater and melding both of those. So what we're looking at right now are Internet sites that are optimized for Google TV. So if I want a quick introduction to what's going on CNN, I can tune in automatically.
I'll just click it, and we'll see what happens. I notice you also have a tablet and a phone in front of it. You'll have applications for both that will control the TV?
That's the best part about this is you're not just limited to the remote control. You can use any tablet. Android or Apple platforms will work with no problem, as well as phones.
Great to see you. Thank you, Peter. We'll be back tomorrow for 2 hours. We're going to do Home Theater Geeks from this booth, the Sharp booth, the Sony booth. One of the things I'm really excited about with Home Theater Geeks is we're also going to be speaking to Alan Parsons. He's here representing DTS, and he's going to talk about how sound and sound recording and engineering and music has changed. Alan Parsons was an engineer for the Beatles at Abbey Road. He engineered the Dark Side of the Moon album for Pink Floyd. This guy has seen it all, and I think it'll be very interesting to talk to him about how recording and audio have changed over the years. So that Home Theater Geeks is tomorrow, right? At noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Scott Wilkinson and I, when we'll be walking around all these places, spending a little bit more time. You see, JVC is here. They have a 4K theater. I always love going into these theaters to see a 4K display on a big screen, just really dramatic. Yeah, save those glasses. I could keep those for future. I have to say, when you see 3D, I'm not a 3D fan, I know Eileen's not either, but when you see it on a screen that is 30 feet high, it is remarkable. GoPro is here. We love GoPro, these little cameras that you can put on your helmet, your bike, and record action sports in high def. They've got a new camera that is pretty spectacular looking on paper. We'll, of course, take a look at it. This is so fun. We're getting to the back of the hall now. That's where Aztec is. You know, what's interesting is there are a number of companies like Aztec that are making cameras like the GoPro. A lot of what's at CES is companies like this. They're infrastructure companies that are selling. We're going to go left? Okay. That are selling to dealers. Remember, this is a show not for the public. This is a show for consumer electronics dealers. And so they come here to look for accessories. You'll see a lot of plasticky accessories. They come here to look for chips to put in their devices. Companies come here to show off things that they don't even make yet to find out if there's a market for it. And that's what a lot of this has become. Of course, because it's such a cool show and it's so visual and it's so much fun. What's this? Yo Gabba Gabba. It's a Yo Gabba Gabba Muno. Yo Gabba Gabba. I don't know what that means. It's not final. See that? Not final, maybe subject to change. So a dealer comes here. They'll look at that. They'll say, I'll buy 100,000 units. But they have to say, well, this is just a prototype. It might not look that way when you buy it. Well, that's good. That's the other thing is, in order to get people to come see your booth, you've got to do something interesting. Either have a giant video wall. They still do booth babes, I'm sad to say. Look at this. They had this screen here last year. This is the Motorola booth. This is a screen that's made out of strings. Beautiful. Motorola is showing off all sorts of stuff. There's the screen. I just love that. And you can walk right through it. It's just a curtain. Yeah. They had that last year. So it's all about getting people to the booth in one way or the other. Here's Dolby Sound. Let's walk through the Intel booth. They've sent us press releases for the last 3 months saying how visual and interesting this booth was going to be. Intel's been pushing the ultra mobile PC. We'll see a lot of those. Oh, and the Microsoft. Here's the last Microsoft booth ever. And remember I said how good the carpet was. Hilton, how would you rate the carpet on a scale of 1 to 10?
9.75.
Very good, isn't it? And you want to ask the camera operators, because he's got a 25-pound pack on. His feet aren't hurting quite yet, but I'm sure they will be soon. Yeah, you could stay in the Microsoft booth as you walk. Of course, Windows Phone 7, a big part, if you look over here, a big part of Microsoft's booth, and Xbox, and Windows 8, and, of course, the new Metro interface, which will be everywhere. Unfortunately, Skype has stopped working. Sometimes that happens. Quick, before they throw us out. I'm getting a little sensitive now. Excuse me. This is the Intel booth. They're always in this corner. It's interesting. Microsoft's always here. Intel's always across from them from time immemorial. And that's why there's going to be a big gap here next year when we come around this corner and the Intel booth is here and the Microsoft booth is not here. Look, they've got an arcade version of Cut the Rope. And that's, of course, to promote the fact that Cut the Rope is available on Internet Explorer and it plays beautifully. You're missing the arcade. It's over here. Our friend Ed Capuano works for these folks over here in the Zune section. I'm sure Ed will be here. Used to be a producer at Tech TV. Now, one of the things Microsoft announced last night, and we thought this would happen, we'll talk about it at Windows Weekly shortly, is the new professional version of Kinect, Kinect for Windows, $250, available February 1st. And as Paul and Mary Jo expected, it'll have a close-up mode. That's the big problem with Kinect is you have to have a big room. You have to get way far back. And that won't work on a desktop PC. So Kinect, we'll come back here. We'll take a look at that as well. Kinect for Windows announced last night at Steve Ballmer's keynote. Steve's keynote featured Ryan Seacrest. It was a little bit of a different kind of keynote. It was a sit-down with Ryan kind of talking casually with Steve. I thought it went off much better. The only thing that was a little weird was when the choir came out to sing tweets. That was a little strange. Here's the Intel booth. We're coming around the side here. Even though you'd think in this day and age, staged presentations would not be a big part of booths anymore, they are, in fact. Almost every booth has a stage where a actor, usually, not somebody who knows what they're talking about, will come up and start giving a presentation. Here's Intel's stage here. But look at that screen. That's a 4K screen, I'm willing to bet, behind there. And they're talking about their... Intel Science Fair, their Sponsors of Tomorrow program. Intel's done a great job with that. Here's some more Ultrabooks. Of course, this is the big push for Intel and for many PC manufacturers at CES. Let's just take a quick look at some of these Ultrabooks because they're so thin, they're so light. They're really MacBook Airs. The Lenovo, which we've already reviewed on Before You Buy. There's the Samsung to its left. And... this one is a Toshiba.
Good morning.
Very nice, very light, very thin. We'll come back and look more at those. We'll be looking a lot more at those. Many people don't know, but the entire CES show is controlled by this small computer here. I'm surprised it's not turned on. All right, we are now in the South Hall. We're getting close to our booth, so we're going to walk around. Shall we escalate? Really? We want to go up and down? We're going to go up and then we're going to go down. This is good. We're going to take you for a ride. Oh, this is always fun. This is the poor man's dolly shot. No, wait a minute. We're going to do it here. Hi, Leo Laporte here from CES 2012, brought to you by Ford. See, and it's very smooth. It's the poor man's dolly shot. We used to do these all the time. Have I given you my card? Here you go. So we are actually now making the transition or the crossover to the South Hall. It's, you know, learning how to get around CES is always interesting. And you often take alternate routes. Hilton's hot. We're gonna give Hilton a mop down. There's the Gullwing. I don't know if that's a Ferrari or a Tesla or what is that. Oh, poor Hilton. I shouldn't have distracted him. Just as he was hitting the end of the escalator. So this is a catwalk. There are a lot of meeting rooms. Here's D-Link. Okay, let's just take a look at this. So the theme is cloud, right? So what do we have? Whoa, stewardesses and a pilot in hot shorts, hot pants, of course. And they just stand there and wave. Zoom in. That's good. Yeah, let's get a tight shot of that. That's it. That's all they do. You could ask them, what does D-Link do? They go, I have no idea. No idea, but I do know that I am going to stand here. And then there's, of course, your pilot. He'll be your captain for this trip. Oh, we're trying different hats. Got to get the right pilot's hat. Yeah, I think he looks like he's in the Nazi, actually. Doesn't that, I think it's a little Germanic. I don't know if that's really the look you want to go with. All right, we'll see if we can tear Hilton away from the hot pants and head over here. These are all meeting rooms up here. The press room is up here. Poor Hilton. He's just already you're dying. We've been 15 minutes into the show. You know we're going through Friday, right? He wants that lighter pack. That's the one he wants for tonight. Tonight we will be going to Showstoppers, the third of the ballroom events. We did CEA Unveiled on Sunday night, Pepcom's digital experience last night. And I didn't go because they didn't let me in, but I understand it was wonderful. And then I heard it was great. And then tonight, Showstoppers. Steve, I better not say on the air. I got an email from Showstoppers saying, we'll let you in. They said they'd let me in. Actually, I won't be there because tonight's my night to have dinner with Ford. But what can you say? I'm actually really looking forward to it. We're now on the second floor of the South Hall. We're in the first floor of the South Hall, just to the entrance, just to the left of the entrance as you come in. If you do happen to be coming to CES, please come by and say hi. We'd love to see you. CNET, as always, has this really kind of premier real estate up here. Right in the kind of the atrium of the South Hall. We're going to go back down the escalators. But you see, we've saved so much trouble going this way. Windows Weekly coming up in just a bit. It's going to be a little weird because I'm going to be Skyping in to Windows Weekly because, just the nature of the technology. Skype is so low latency, we do it that way for any interaction. And Paul, of course, is still in Boston. Mary Jo's in New York. They didn't come to CES this year. So I'll be Skyping to our studios at the Brick House, and they'll be Skyping in, and that's where we'll produce the show from. But we got Harry McCracken stopping by. Alex Lindsay will be at the booth. Who else is coming by for Windows Weekly? We got a bunch of people.
There's a HTC Titan we're going to see. We're going to see the new Nokia phone.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and we've got OnLive. They've got a new Windows iPad app, believe it or not.
Oh, cool. That's great.
There's one more, and I can't remember. I think it's a tablet.
And, of course, we'll ask Paul and Mary Jo, who did a commentary last night of the Ballmer keynote, what they thought.
I heard everyone loved it. I heard they loved the commentary from Paul.
Well, of course. I can't wait to hear what they think about that tweet chorus. That's...
Jammerby almost couldn't keep a straight face while he was telling me about the tweet chorus on the walkie.
It was the funniest thing I ever saw. Eileen Rivera, of course, my producer, has done a great job of setting this all up. We've got a great team down here, almost 15 people down here producing the shows, hosting the shows, Tom, Sarah, Iaz, and myself. And we'll see a lot of old friends, I'm sure, as well. I know, you're still in 3D. It's great. Everything's in 3D. It's amazing. So we're about to go into the South Hall. This is where we live, and our booth is right over here. So as I said, right through the entrance, hang a left. Lin Fu is there, too. She's been watching this whole time. She knew we were coming. Hilton, why don't you go down and get a look at the booth from below, and I'll wave down to you. And then we'll switch over once we get that shot. Because the booth, I call it the sky booth, and in some ways it is. I mean, we're at the top of a flight of stairs. Hey, everybody. Don't cry for me, Argentina. You know, no, that's not right. So it's kind of it's a beautiful job. We had Roger Ambrose design this, and Brent Bai lit it to make it pop. The only thing we're sad about when we did this booth the first time, we were at NAB last year, the NAB show, and I think Black Magic was over here, and they had arranged at great expense to have all the mercury vapor lights turned off. So it was dark up here, and we just had our lighting, and it really was a lot more spectacular. Unfortunately, we don't have the wherewithal to turn those mercury vapor lights off, so we're pretty well lit, but I think we've got a nice setup. All right, we're going to get ready now for Windows Weekly. Thank you for joining us for the grand opening. We didn't even see the North Hall. We didn't even see all the Central Hall. In fact, Hilton, if you turn around, you can look down that aisle, move over a little bit to your right, and you'll see how long this hall goes. This is several football fields long, a couple of football fields wide. This is one of three halls. It's not even the biggest. And there's a hall upstairs. There's a hall to the left. There's a hall all the way down by the Hilton. So this is a massive conference. It just really goes on and on and on. All right, let's get set up for Windows Weekly. I'm going to take the stage. I've got my gold microphone. We can switch over to the high-quality stream now, because this was all via 3G. All right, we're now coming to you from the stage. In a second, we'll get video from the stage. The stage picture really looks a lot better. You're seeing a lot more of quality there because we are using a lot more bandwidth. We're still using the live view, but we're hooked up to our dedicated hard line here at the stage. And that has... Russell, how many megabits upstream do we have on our line at the stage? So the live view is using all six of those meg. And that's why it goes from kind of a little fuzzier because it's using 3G to using 6 megs upstream, and it looks spectacular, I got to say. We looked at all sorts of different ways of uplinking from CES back to our studios, and this is absolutely the best we've ever seen. Just remarkable. So I'm going to log in.
Hi there, how are you?
And we're going to get ready. I'll put in my ears for a Windows Weekly...